Yes, indeed. It is that time once again when we talk cars, trucks, vans, and problems therein. If you have any kind of issues with your vehicle and you need to bring it in for service and you want to know what the heck could be wrong with it, why don't you find out? You can just ask Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul on beautiful Grand Avenue. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you and how are things? Well, I saw you just a few days ago. I know things were busy as usual at Lloyd's, getting my oil and filter changed once again. You got a pretty happy crew there. You know, what's the secret? I mean, you feed them a lot of food or what's the deal there?
Well, some of our best customers bring in donuts when they come in the morning, so that often helps, as you know.
But you do have the first visit that people walk into that door, and you know you're always greeted with a Jim or you or you know the Big Nick or whomever, and it's a great attitude. I've said that before, and that means a lot to people.
It is pretty amazing when you consider how hectic and how busy the place is. That, you know, and there's some infighting. They're kind of like siblings. You know, we've all been together for, I think Big Nick and I have been together for over 20 years or near 20 years for sure. And, you know, Tim's been there as long, Jeff. I mean, most of those guys have been there 10 plus years. And everybody knows their role. Everybody knows their how to help each other out and kind of look out for each other. And, you know, it's an amazing, you know, if you could be a fly on the wall in there to see how the day goes by, it's pretty amazing what happens. And, you know, we like to call it kind of a controlled chaos, which, you know, it's an amazing place to be day in, day out, for sure.
Well, it is. And I was thinking, too, as I was driving back from Lloyd's the other day, that the many places, not just your shop, but a lot of them are busy. People are hanging on to their cars for however you want to talk about manufacturing vehicles or the problems they're in. But people are needing to keep their cars running, right?
Yeah, it's a really weird time right now. You know, I know there's the automaker strike. I know interest rates are high, inflation, uncertainty. So I think people realize that, you know, if you're ready for a new vehicle and you have the means, by all means, you deserve it. You work hard for your money. Do as you please. And then we tell people that all the time. But, you know, if you're not sure, you know, it's I would say most vehicles, most, not all, deserve another repair, meaning like, you know, if it's due for struts or brakes or some steering suspension, which can be costly, often isn't the reason to get rid of a vehicle. You know, I mean, when you kind of get into some of the big, heavy mechanical items like an engine or transmission, then we might pause, look at the mileage, the overall condition of the vehicle and think twice. But honestly, most of these, you know, more than maintenance, you know, wear and tear items come up. And it used to be people would be like, well, that's a lot of money. I think I'm ready for a new vehicle. Now the conversations are like, that's a lot of money, but how much more life does my vehicle have? And, you know, these cars easily go 200,000 miles. If you maintain the vehicle, seeing a car pushing 300,000 miles is not completely out of the question anymore. And if you maintain the vehicle and it's 10 years old, you know, I would say, you know, people would ask me, I would tell people in the past, you know, 10 years, a couple hundred thousand miles is a good life, which it still is. But I think if you want a couple more years, another 30, 50,000 miles, that's not pushing it. I would still trust a vehicle with 200,000 miles driving across the country if it's been maintained. And, you know, we'll see how this all goes in the next months and years. But I think cars are good to keep going. They've been maintained. If you maintain them, there's no reason not to keep them on the road.
Absolutely. I tell you, if you have any problems with yours, let's hear from you. We'd love to hear your voice if you want to call Nick or if you'd rather send him a text. Either way, just one number will get you either, a phone call or a text, 651-461-9226. Some text messages came in this morning, kind of winter-related, and I guess that makes sense this time of year. Here we are on November 4th. Don't forget, by the way, to turn your clocks back 1 hour overnight tonight. We lose daylight saving time, and we'll get back to standard time at 2 o'clock to be exact tomorrow morning. So fall back. You get an extra hour of sleep overnight tonight. Causes this one, what could be tomorrow morning? So fall back. You get an extra hour of sleep overnight tonight. Causes, this one, what could be the causes of low or no heat in a vehicle? It doesn't say any particular car or truck. It just says, what could be the causes of low or no heat?
Well, if we're talking about the blower motor, you know, a lot of times the blower motor has failed, it's not able to circulate the air. There's a resistor that also controls the fan speed that can create maybe a low heat situation. And then the other end of the spectrum would be something wrong with the thermostat or the cooling system, not allowing that heat into the vehicle. So there's a couple different paths we could be going down there. So the first thing we would do is try to determine if the fan's working. If it is, then we kind of, you know, see what the temperature out of the fan is. You know, if it's 140, 150 degrees, that would satisfy us. If it's more of a situation where the fan's not working, then we go down that road, I guess.
All right. Well, it's I guess not easy for me, but it would be for you and your crew. You know, technicians can do some detective work, and I don't think it would take too long as far as that problem is concerned to find out why a vehicle is not heating. I'll tell you what, we have to take a break, Nick. I want to alert our listeners that Nick will be with us just until about 7:45, so our time is limited. So don't wait. Any kind of a car question, we'd love to hear from you, but sooner rather than later. Here's, again, the number, 651-461-9226. Shoot us a phone call or a text here this Saturday morning. Now 28 degrees in the Twin Cities. Our high today, not a bad high, it's still a little below average. 47 the high today, but tomorrow we'll get up to near 55 degrees. Right now, 28 on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Talk Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those questions either by phone or by text. And again, Nick, like we always like to talk, for those that maybe need help from you guys at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're ever, this warm week we're having ahead of us here, if you're on Grand Avenue going for a walk, swing in and say hi at corner Grand and Chatsworth, 982 Grand. If you ever have a question or need advice, as always, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. We'd really like you to check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Yeah, we'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 this morning. Nick, we have callers and we have texters, but, you know, I every so often we like to talk about what a great career being a technician, or some folks still like to call themselves auto mechanics, and that's great too. But you guys have a pretty neat opening for somebody, don't you?
We do. It's not often that we are in the market to hire or add someone. And we're pretty particular, as you know. The team's a very unique and special team. So when we bring somebody on board, we want to make sure it's a really good fit. So if anyone has a loved one, a friend, a neighbor that might be in the automotive industry looking for a change or maybe even a start, you know, we don't have an exact ideal candidate. It's really about the person, and the capabilities is important, work ethic, all those things. But you don't have to be the top-notch guy out of the top-notch person out of the gate. You know, we do a lot of training, and we try to work as a team and help work on the weaknesses to make them our strengths. And it's a really great place to work. So if you have a loved one or someone you know looking to have a change of pace or looking for a home, as I like to call it, or a career, not a job, we got a spot for someone. So just, you know, reach out to us, give us a call, swing by. I'd like to chat to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Great place to work. I just wish I knew more about it myself. I could sweep up or something, I suppose. I'll tell you what, let's grab a phone call or two. Tim is first up here calling in from Glencoe, I do believe. Tim, good morning. What's your question for Nick?
Hello.
Tim. Hi. What's your question, Tim?
My question is, what does a canister do in a GM car or pickup?
Canister.
The carbon canister, which is part of the emission system, collects fuel vapors, and it's important because if we don't have that, then we're emitting those emissions into the atmosphere. So every vehicle is equipped with a canister. So when the vehicle is at rest or if it's in a venting situation, all those vapors collect into the canister. Under the right conditions, the vehicle will do a purge. So while you're driving, you're unaware of it, but it'll do a purge where the vacuum from the engine will pull those vapors from the canister and burn that fuel off. So it's important because it helps with emissions. It also has some funny things where if there's an issue with the canister, the purge being stuck open, sometimes the car might not run very well. If there's something wrong with the venting of that canister, sometimes adding fuel to your vehicle might be difficult. So it doesn't necessarily keep the car driving, but it makes things work a lot better.
All right. 651-461-9226. We'll get you a phone call or a text question for Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. I tell you what, I know we've got some text messages, but I want to grab another phone call. Val's calling, I believe, from Minneapolis this morning. Val, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Nick? Are you there, Val? I think Val went out for coffee. So, well, let's do this. We have text messages. 2005 Chevrolet Silverado 1500. The key fob locks the doors but does not unlock the door. I have to use the key to unlock the doors. Any ideas?
Well, oftentimes when we see something like that, if you're careful, if you take it to someone, a lot of times they can take that fob apart, and then we'll find that maybe the button had gotten loose. Sometimes the solder joint is broken and needs to be replaced. But there, it isn't necessarily meaning you need a fob. I would investigate a little bit further first.
All right. And there was an earlier question that came in earlier this morning about frozen locks. I know it's a little early in the season, maybe not for some parts of CCO land. Is there any way to like lubrication, is there any way to prevent that from happening if you don't have, you know, if your fob doesn't work, if you have an older car?
Well, the first thing, and we should all do this today, if we recall, your driver's door is probably still equipped with a lock cylinder. So that would mean that, you know, your fob, your remote, oftentimes has a key inside of it or flips open. Take that and work that door lock a few times. We never use them. They get kind of gummed up and frozen up, and then when it gets cold out, they really are stuck. So take the time. I wouldn't spray anything in there. I think if you just go in there and work the door lock the cylinder a few times, it's sufficient. If you get into the winter months, you know, we can talk about maybe getting the key warm or doing something, try to unthaw it a little bit. I'd be very cautious about what I would spray inside of a door lock because I don't want it to gum up or make it worse.
No, that's very, very important. Yeah, I know we talk about this from time to time every fall or winter season here on the show, and I got to start following the direction from you because I haven't done that for quite some time. So, yeah, get your key, believe it or not. You have a key, most people, and get that thing loosened up there. But nothing against WD-40. I use it for, you know, various reasons, not for lubrication. So I have read, and you probably will back me up on this, don't spray WD-40 inside your locks. You're right?
Well, anything that could allow the dust and dirt to collect,
yeah,
is not a good idea. Now, like some graphite or something is probably okay. I believe if you go in and work that under, you know, half a dozen times or whatever it might be sufficient, keep things working smoothly, and in the event that the battery does go dead, have access to the vehicle.
I tell you what, I want you to think about this, and we'll answer when we come back. A listener sent a text wondering, do you think it's going to be easier to maintain an electric vehicle than a gas vehicle as far as overall maintenance? We'll talk about that when we come back and answer some other questions here on CCO's Car Care Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're around every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. This morning, Nick Stoffel, as usual, answering those any kind of a car care question you may have. Nick, of course, is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we have a bunch of text messages. Let's see. I know our time is always limited. Seems to get a big crunch time here. But let's see how many folks we can help out this morning. I mentioned before the break, a listener wanted to kind of get your idea, your thoughts about the maintenance of what do you see in the future as you look in your crystal ball as far as electric cars versus the internal combustion vehicles. Do you think there's going to be an easier maintenance job on that, on the new cars, or what?
Different. You know, yesteryear's vehicles were all mechanical. They're knuckles, you know, that kind of.
You're breaking up, Nick.
Let me switch this here.
Benny?
There you are.
I'm at the. Most Saturday mornings, I'm traveling with my daughter to sort of hockey somewhere, so I'm in a dead spot. I apologize.
You have things to do besides helping us out here. All right, what do you think, briefly? What do you think about the question?
So, say, years cars were mechanical, they were greasy, busting your knuckles. There's a lot more sensors, a lot more safety items. Electric vehicles will have a lot of sensors about temperatures, lots of cooling systems. Different. Technicals, you know, so for the future, like, you know, these young folks getting into the schools, we have a lot more brain power than maybe muscle power. We still have brakes. We still have tie rods and struts and tires and stuff. So it's be different because it's getting a lot more electrical, precise. The vehicles are going to be much better in quality. Piece, and we talk about it a lot. It's a process. It's not. First, have an electric vehicle tomorrow. If you want one, you can have one. It's going to take. So don't worry about that yet.
All right. Now, we are having some major issues here with your phone, Nick. I think maybe we'll try to field one more question. We may have to let you go. Let's see how it goes. But this texter says, how often and for how many hours should they charge my summer car stored for 6 months in an unheated garage using the 2-amp setting? What do you think about that? We do get storage questions a lot.
And I would be careful with that because charger was just on 2 amps constantly. You're going to have to use a tender. Penny?
Okay. Nick, I think we're going to have to cut it short here. Your phone is breaking up quite a bit. So I tell you what, let's do. Let's just pick up on this this next week if we can. Okay. In the meantime, if you can, give us the number and the information that folks may need some help from you guys at Lloyd's.
Absolutely. So quickly here. Hopefully this will get through. If you ever need any help, please don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you're on Grand Avenue, swing by and say hi. We're there, you know, Monday through Friday, 7 to 6. Poke your head and say hello. And please check out our website, LloydsAutomotive.net.
Excellent. All right, Nick, good luck today in your travels, and we'll do this again next week. Thanks, Nick. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. By the way, Jack Farrell's standing by. He's going to be next with his wine chat. And by the way, in the 8 o'clock hour, one of the busiest hours here on CCO is our Smart Garden Show. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, keep those in mind, because Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota will be answering those particular questions. We're already starting to get some lawn and garden questions as we speak here, both text-wise and I'm sure phone calls too. So that's next hour, right after Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Again, keep in mind, tonight we're losing daylight saving time, so don't forget to set your clocks back 1 hour. Fall back as we go back to a standard time by 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. Jack Farrell's is standing in the wings there. We'll have our Wine Chat with Jack coming along in just a moment here on News Talk 830 WCCO.